Sci-fi here on a Schraub Home Video. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And I'm Aaron.
This is a also sorry about the. I didn't know we had technical difficulties last week. Hopefully everything's fine now.
We did. Oh, we did.
So sorry. I was laying on the floor screaming. This is a paranormal conspiracy theory type of podcast / show.
Nope.
I've totally am blanking on what I'm supposed to say here. Patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. I get 2 bonus episodes a week. We stream on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can find us at Real Life Sci-Fi on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend from Bunzaverse here on Schraub Home Video, and he's promoting Hot Cross Buns 2. It's Brian Weissel.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
I'm stoked to be here on the RL. What is it? How? What are
the SSRLSF?
Oh, Jesus Christ!
That's come on, you can do it.
You are a quintessential guest.
Wait, 5?
I'm stoked to be here with Aaron because I was talking to you guys earlier because I don't feel like I've been on the show because it feels like a new show.
That fun, fresh female energy that I bring to the stage.
Yeah.
And hardened research.
I know. look at this. Like, she's got all sorts of notes.
I got notes.
It will all go to waste. Yeah. She won't get to half of that.
But you know what? It's fun to read and it's fun to expand my mind.
Tell us about Hot Cross Buns 2. I don't understand what this is. Because Hot Cross Buns was a Channel 101 show.
I think, you know, probably most of the Schraub Home Video people have seen it or heard of it, but it was I made a sequel to a Channel 101 cartoon I made from like 2006, and I had finished up working on a show called Hot Streets, and I had a bunch of ideas.
So you like the words hot and buns?
Well, like, yeah, I do. I like the words.
That's your cash cow. That's
So you just decided I'm just gonna make this thing. And it's on YouTube or like where?
Yeah, it kind of ballooned out of control where I was like, all right, I'm going to make this. I'm going to like make something kind of cool with some action in it. And it ballooned out of control. I was going to make it like a 5-minute thing, and then it turned into 7 minutes, and then it turned into 20 minutes.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. If you haven't seen the first one, go check it out. I mean, I think it's fucking hilarious.
But where do we see it, though?
You could see it on YouTube. And it's going to be on Schraub Home Video as well. They're doing a Bunzaverse marathon. After the show's over, they're going to be doing re-airing all the Bunzaverse episodes I did on Schraub Home Video. And that one is a part of that in one of the episodes.
Oh, cool. All right.
But you could check it out on YouTube.
All right, cool. Just
Hot Cross Buns.
You got a bunch of views? How many views you got?
Oh, God. Like a whopping 1,000 right now.
Hey, man. That's,
wow.
That's better than 100.
It's true. It is more than that.
All right.
Lightning.
You've been on the show so many times. You know your WoW scale. Do we need to do it again? I know that it changes a lot, but you were just on like a couple
just
months
do
ago.
Do a lightning one. It'll
all right,
be
let's
fun
do
to
a
edit.
Let's do a lightning WoW
scale. I won't interrupt.
Scale.
I'll try not to.
WoW scale.
The music makes me a believer, almost. It, like, affects me.
WoW scale is a 5-question quiz. At the end, you will be graded between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're in the middle, you're an Aaron. Are you ready to be Wade on the WoW scale?
Yes.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, no.
Okay. Ghosts?
No.
Bigfoot?
No.
Psychics?
Hell no.
Are you superstitious?
No. That's a trick question. Because
it is a trick. Well, it's not a trick. It's just it doesn't weigh you down. It weighs you up. So you're like a 2. Congrats. You're a two.
What's Aaron at? A two as well?
I'm a three.
Three, okay.
I'm in the middle.
I mean, we kind of just made that up. Do you think you are a three? I think you're
probably.
I think you're like a seven.
You think I'm a seven? You think I'm more than Willie?
More than a Willie.
I think, well.
When I believe in all those conspiracies. I don't know. I don't
have aliens come to Earth. I kind of.
You go back and forth on that one.
Can I be like a 2.5?
Sure. Welcome to the 2.5 club. First ever.
Hell yeah.
Hey, other than Windows.
We'll call it the Weissel window.
Yeah. The Weissel window paradox.
Willie, hit us with that topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, holonomic brain theory, also known as the holographic brain. Basically, the idea is our brains work like a holographic storage network. Some suggest that human consciousness is formed by quantum effects in or between brain cells. Is there anything to this, or is it all just pseudoscience? Are we even smart enough to talk about the brain tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of this stuff that is so heady. Like, when we get into string theory and shit, I'm just like, okay. Huh. But, like, so...
I mean,
I've got a way to kind of simplify it. And actually, people that are really into this theory might think that I'm full of shit by saying it this way. But, like, think of it this way. Like, what if your brain wasn't the home of your memories and consciousness, and instead it was a receiver, and you're receiving from somewhere else a signal that is giving you your personality?
Your brain is not the home of your consciousness. It's coming from somewhere else, and it's being broadcast into you from somewhere else.
Does that mean that my transmitter sucks because I don't remember anything?
It might be.
Or like, my receiver?
That's kind of interesting, too, because, like, do some people, if that is the case, where your brain is just receiving signals, do some people receive the signal stronger than others?
You just got dirty dendrites, man.
Is that a pineal gland
thing? Gist of it is a lot of the popular brain science says right now that each little tiny connection connects to something to create a memory. And so everything is made in your brain. There's a map to where certain memories lie. And the difference now is, as I hear the brain reboot, the difference now is that what this idea kind of suggests is that, like a hologram, every little piece actually has a part of the whole. The screen still has all the information. It just, I'm trying to think of all these parallels that I had ready to talk about, but...
You didn't write any of them down?
I wrote them down. Let's get to it. One of them is memory is not stored in one spot. Every part of the brain can access all of the memories. And this idea comes from you have people who have lost big parts of their brain, even the parts that store memories, according to our current science. Yet they still, there are people that still have their memories. Even though
what does the actual science say? Like, what do real scientists and doctors say? That there's a part of the brain that stores memories?
The
not in this Newtonian ideal.
No, but I mean, like, the normal people, not the freaks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Newtonian ideal is the normal ideal.
Oh.
The idea that we exist as individuals in an empty space, whereas the holonomic mind suggests that we are individuals in a full space. That we are not just ourselves, we are ourselves, our consciousness, and a third higher self that connects those two together.
It's based on, like, implicate order. It's just saying, it's like the kind of the hippie thing where everything.
So many
all
words
one.
That I don't know.
It's like, all right, it's like we're all one. The consciousness is like we're all
yeah,
one.
Yeah, okay. I've heard of that.
Well, but getting into, like, is it the frontal cortex? Is the front part the part that stores all the memory? And so, like, without actually having a good memory.
Who knows?
If it were that, there are people that are missing that part that still have a lot of memory.
Yeah. There's two common thoughts. Well, I guess there's three. But the two physical thoughts is that either our neurons that store our neurons in our nervous system, either those are what store our memory, because those are our feeling, touching, sensing like cells, or it's the RNA within each of our cells that contains its own imprinted memory of our physical being.
So none of it is the brain?
The brain is merely a conduit that filters the energies around us into what we ourselves can comprehend.
So when I smell soap that my grade school used, and I do that ratatouille thing,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And it takes me back to my grade school,
mm-hmm.
That's not the brain?
No, because your Vedic self, your higher self, it's all the same moment,
yeah,
in the
don't
same
use words
timeline.
Like Vedic.
Okay, I won't. So it's just your cell. It's all the same time in the timeline. Your brain is just making you experience it in a linear fashion.
Oh, so this is like a snowball of a theory, because then you're also doing the time is a flat circle thing, right?
Well, but a lot of this comes from applying quantum mechanics and stuff to our traditional brain sciences, and so traditional brain science says that, you know, everything is just chemical reactions, and the more brain matter you have, the more consciousness you have, the more you are aware of things. Oh, this animal's got a bigger brain than us, they must be smarter, and just based on all the connections. And you know how, like, one specific spot, as of now, that's what they agree on, is that this has this specific memory, you know.
But then how do they account for what you're saying, which is if you lose that part of your brain, you still remember shit? What's their answer? These Newtonians.
I mean, that's just it. Is they don't have they don't have an answer.
Okay.
This is where all of the new, like, theoretical science of, like, quantum mechanics and quantum theory are kind of butting heads with the Newtonian idea of where our memory and our consciousness are stored in our bodies.
So this is not like new agey. This is like actual smart people.
Yeah. I mean, new agey people are leaning into it, but quantum mechanics is leaning into new agey things.
Yeah, the extremes of science end in spiritualism, which I don't like, but I'm starting to realize that.
Right?
But it's not like homeopathy, which is just like a huge fraud. It's not like that type of people. They're not saying this stuff. It's like science. Science is saying it. They're like,
real,
hey,
legit. Yeah.
Let's be scientists. Let's hypothesize.
Yeah, Dr. Wade
experiment.
Here.
Experiment.
But, you know.
Is it a philosophy? Well, but then what does that mean? Because aren't they doing experiments to see
if they're right
about this shit?
The problem with doing experiments on consciousness and holographic brain theory, holonomic, whatever, is that you know, because it's saying different things and it's not agreeing with the Newtonian ideals of like what our bodies mean and what our consciousness and our souls, they don't want to accept it. So it's like, although there's a lot of evidence, pointing towards this.
I can tell there's like a million. Just flip to a random tab there. What does that say?
Bifurcation model of developmental stages. After the reactive, the naive, and the egocentric conformist consciousness, you can then ascend to either the achievement consciousness or the affiliative consciousness, which the achievement consciousness is like Trump, where your only goal is to make achievements so that people like you, or the other way, which is affiliative, which is you want like a community to appreciate you, not...
But then that's like, now you're talking personality types and shit.
This is consciousness. This is like, as you develop and your brain gets bigger and more complex, like he said, like, you do expand your consciousness and it gives you more understanding of the world around you. Mm-hmm. So you start off as reactive, as a baby, from like 0 to 6 months or something. You're reactive consciousness. You're only reacting to things coming into your vision. And then after that is the naive, where you think that everyone is there to help you.
Right.
So, like, once you get off of the reaction, and it just keeps on going until eventually you reach, I think they call unity.
But don't you think that's...
Or pre- or post-death consciousness.
But that could coexist with thinking that the brain is in our heads.
There was that guy. There was like a scientist that I think in the 50s, there was a guy who they did studies on where they removed like the hippocampus and like they removed like a big part of his brain, and he retained his personality, but he lost his memory complete. Like every hour, like he would just completely lose his had no short-term memory at all. And like the weird thing though, and when they were experimenting with him, is that like they would teach him things in that hour that he'd completely forget every single hour, but he would get better at the tasks that they gave him.
So, like some sort of like muscle memory or something like that, like riding a bike, as the old adage goes.
Yeah. So is that a different piece that's coming from somewhere else? Because is that his brain doing that, or is that coming from somewhere else?
I mean, there's a difference between your brain and your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like I was like, I'm going to like make a horror, like write something that's just complete horror. And I couldn't help, like the other, there was a part of me that couldn't help just putting in jokes and making it funny.
I know. That's why I could never like write on a drama, like one of those like procedural dramas, because I would constantly be making the characters go like, that's what she said.
Yeah. It's like, you can't help your, like there's another voice coming that like forces you to do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do that a lot in Law and Order. You'd fit right in.
It's just,
I mean, I would watch that show. all of a sudden we get a Wade episode.
It's just, I just feel, I don't know if it's a different part of my brain like you're saying, or if it's just me going like, this is fucking boring. They're just saying shit. I gotta spice this baby up.
What I think though, with that voice, like, cause like sometimes you'll be in a bad relationship, but you're like, I still want to like, I want to hug and kiss this lady. I don't want to break up with her still. Because I like hugging and kissing. And the other voice is like, she's ruining your life. You need to break up with her. And that voice, that other voice, I think 9 out of 10 times is the correct voice. Isn't that weird? Like, because like when you...
The one you don't want to agree with? Or which one? Which one?
Well, I mean...
The hug and kiss one or the...
Yeah, the hug and kiss one. You want to hug and kiss, but you know that it's making your life miserable.
But you think the hug and kiss one is the correct one?
No.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
The rational one.
Yeah.
Well, so tell us more about this. What do you guys got?
Well, okay. Well, I have a question.
You can go ahead. Yeah.
So.
You're wearing a Free Britney shirt. Is that just because of the colors, or do you actually want a Free Britney?
At one point, I wanted a freer, but now it's just the colors. And I'm like, well, should I get rid of this shirt now?
Have you guys seen her Instagram? She's insane again.
Yeah, and that's
they got
okay.
her all matted up, though.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. Maybe it's her hollow brain. What's it called?
Holonomic. So there's this physicist, David Bohm. I don't know how to say it, B-O-H-M. And like his whole thing was he had troubles with unresolved areas of quantum mechanics. And so one idea that led him to this, to looking into holonomic brain is that, so like he was into quantum entanglement. So if you have,
if you have two
particles that when you do something to one, you do it to the other one. If this one moves, this one moves. Kind of like these things are intertwined in a way that they only react with each other. In that realm, these two things could be more than their distance could be so far apart, but when you react with one, it affects the other one. So that breaks the law of the speed of light. And so like that led him to the implicate order, but I'm just saying that like,
the implicate order. Yeah.
When you can break pieces of popular science, that doesn't make everyone go, oh, well, you're right. It just makes everybody question things more. But I'm like, there, you know, quantum mechanics is breaking apart a lot of the general relativity. And but that's what we're on is general relativity. And so when it comes,
man, I love that South Park character, General Relativity. And it's just everyone's uncle or whatever. Right? But he's in the army. General Relativity.
I haven't watched like the last
time. No, it's not a South Park character. Could be. He's everyone's relative. General relativity. Oh, man. This is gold, you guys, and you're just staring at me?
I'm chewing my coconut pulp.
So. Okay, well, stop. Stop doing that.
What's his catchphrase? Which general relativity's like catchphrase?
It would be like, how's your uncle? Like that British thing. Only he is everyone's uncle. So your answer would be like, you tell us. And then everyone laughs.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. I worked on that show for a week. They didn't hire me.
So here's my question. If,
oh, funny.
If this holonomic brain theory is suggesting that non-physical elements of ourselves exist in the physical parts of our brain. My question is, does that make dreams as important as living? If you can be yourself in your dream, if you can take control of your dream and your brain is working, you can do more in a dream than you can in the physical world.
To me, like, I consider that state of being unconscious, and that's just your brain working out. I feel like it's almost the opposite. When you're dreaming, your brain is just shitting out nonsense.
I agree with you, but for anyone who can take control of their dream, all of a sudden they're conscious.
That's right, yeah. Can you do that?
Can you? I can take moments and be aware of myself in my dream, but it makes me want to wake up because I've always got something to do. So I'm like, I don't want to dream. I want to wake up and do things.
It's hard. I mean, it's hard. You have to practice doing it, because the moment you realize you're doing it, you wake up. So there's tricks. One of the tricks is you look at like a thread on the carpet, and that's supposed to keep you in like your lucid dream and stuff. I don't believe that dreams are anything other than what Weissel said, just processing the information of the day. Last night I dreamt that this show, instead of this show, was an old sketch show that I did. And I just was dreading it the whole time. And I only had like a couple lines. And yeah, it was Teenage Trouble. And I only had a couple lines. I didn't know them. And there was no one in the audience. And it's just like, what are we doing here, guys? And that's why we quit.
I don't know if dreams are just meant to process your day, per se. I do think that you're tapping into a different kind of consciousness that you have, but I just don't think that when you enter the waking state that it translates. It's the same as the idea that that fetuses have fetal memories, but then when you're born, you go. I think that's, what is the chemical that floods the cavity when you're born? It's like OxyContin or something that floods the cavity. Oxytocin, thank you. And it makes you lose your memory, essentially. Because like in this book, there was a whole beginning study about like how your brain forms and does your consciousness form before your function.
Do you think that the reason that happens is because we would all... The
trauma of birth,
right,
is essentially the same trauma as death. You're going to die when you exit the womb. Yeah.
So do you think that's it? Or do you think it's that if we remembered being in the womb, we would just constantly be trying to get back in the womb?
Definitely. 100%.
In the same way, without the DMT in your brain when you die, you would just connect to your physical self more.
Yeah.
I think it's a good parallel. Yeah.
I mean, that's encouraging if you're about to die, right? To be like, oh, yeah, this is just another birth.
Yeah.
Let's see what's next. Do you think when you die and you get your new brain or whatever, that you can look at your life? Do you think you remember your life? Or do you think it's brand new again? And now you're in the cosmos surfing with a silver surfer.
The examples that they used in this book stated that the people that were doing the regressions to re-experience pre-birth memories, like fetal memories, they both had experiences inside the womb and outside the womb, experiences that they could corroborate like one of the doctors doing these regression experiments, he specifically, because he also delivered babies, he picked 10 babies, and then 20 years later, he wrote down like everything about their births, the way they came out, if anything weird happened, if they were holding their umbilical cord or not. He had them do a hypnotic regression. Only he would know these things. Not even the parents, no one else. All of them except one person pretty much said exactly what happened. They're like, I was coming out and I had a big scratch on my face. I felt a big scratch and my mom was really nervous and was crying, and then they didn't give me to her immediately, and like the mom corroborated this, and then the doctor corroborated like how you came out. He did have a scratch on his face because we're having trouble getting him out and all this
stuff.
Did
she have that tooth vagina or something?
Yeah, she had a real toothy vagina just munching on the way out.
Where'd the scratch come from is what I mean.
It's from the instrument that they used to pull the baby out.
What? Well, they removed that before there was the internet. How would anyone know?
Wait, they use an instrument?
Sometimes the babies are stuck, so you have to like grab them with these forceps or like a suction thing and pull them out.
Like a plunger? You just... Right on top of his head.
Like, yeah.
It looks like a thing that you've bend your eyelashes with.
Oh yeah, like a little.
You must know what that's called. An eyelash curler. What's the point of that?
It's to curl your eyelashes.
Oh, it's in the title. You're right.
But yeah, it's crazy because if you in the idea of memory regression before memory exists, it's like that. It's so abstract. Those first moments that like, how do you put those pieces together after you develop language?
Yeah. And then the other weird thing too is that as the fetus was developing, there's a certain point where your brain starts to develop. It starts developing from the bottom up, so your brainstem starts and like all the lower parts of your brain where your like reptile brain is. I think they call it like your R cortex or something. Anyway, but it just tells you basically all the things you need to do to live primitively, which is to hunt, to hide, to congregate, to eat, to gather, like all of those things. It starts there first.
Before, if people don't like you, just start telling jokes.
Yeah, that's right there. It's right there.
If you shit your pants, run.
But
don't stop.
All of that stuff develops. All that stuff develops after they've already gotten readings of like REM sleep and like weird kind of electrical magnetic anomalies that come from our bodies naturally coming from a fetus. So it's like, what forms first? Your consciousness, which helps you REM sleep and do all that stuff, or your physical brain, which is what tells you how to interact in this material.
What's your earliest memories?
What's crazy is I have... When I'm hanging out with Moose and I experience him doing things, I'll have flashback memories of things where I'm like, no, this is before four, you know, like just, I remember like eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I knew my brother was at school. So I was four. I'm like, there's no reason for me to remember this, but because he was eating the sandwich, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this. So, but like, that's about it. Just tiny snippets of moments of enjoying things or.
I remember horrible things.
You always remember the worst stuff.
Yeah, I remember horrible things. Like I remember I used to crawl backwards all the time. And I remember like falling backwards down like a big flight of stairs.
Oh, boy.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
That's nuts.
I remember like I pissed off my parents because like they had like a bottle of milk and like I unscrewed it and like poured it everywhere. And I was like laughing, and everybody was like really mad at me. I remember that as well.
Yeah.
Who else? Do you have a memory? An early first memory?
I mean, I remember being in my grandma's kitchen and just eating like a big bowl of rice, and I would just say over and over, "I got the Sprite in you. I got the Sprite in you." And my mom was like, "Me in me in you."
Jesus Christ, that's a fucking cute.
What happened, man?
That's so cute. Dude. I don't remember. I lived in a different house until I was like 3 or 4, and I have some memories of it. I remember I stepped on the ladybug and it stung me. I've told you guys that. Ladybugs are evil. They stung my foot.
I didn't know ladybugs could sting.
No, they can't. I was like misremembering whatever. I was an idiot little fucking kid. I was on my trike going down the street. I saw a ladybug, and the next thing I knew, my foot hurt. And so for years, I was convinced it was a ladybug. And they're like, it was a bee, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, you can't prove me wrong. It was a ladybug. And I also remember watching Mary Tyler Moore and hating the way she walked. Like, she walks like this in the intro.
Yeah.
Like an asshole. I was like, what is this? Why is she walking like that? Why does my mom think this woman's funny?
This shot needs to be 3 seconds. You're taking 8. Okay. Cut. I got this.
Edit. Go to the next shot.
I want everyone to immediately look at you in this crowd. Can you do something real weird?
And the Hulk. And the Incredible Hulk. I remember watching the Incredible Hulk for some reason. As my mom was like making dinner or lunch or whatever, there was just a TV in the middle. It wasn't a main TV. It was just like kind of there somewhere.
Is that kind of your man-to-man inspiration from as a young kid?
The Incredible Hulk? Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Well,
it's funny because I was thinking, like, Wade did this short called Man to Man with Drew.
Well, I got to be honest, it was Drew's idea.
Oh, it's super funny, but, like, have you seen the trailer? This is so going off topic, but the trailer for Shazam 2, like, the kid from Shazam 1 grew up and he's, like, muscular, and he's turning into just another guy now.
He's turning into a Shazam? It?
Yeah, they're using, like, he grew up, he's too old, and he's like he grew up.
I understand that actors now, they all have to be fucking muscle men and shit, but, like, stop it. Where's all the regular people? I want to see some regular people.
Yeah, I mean, they should tell the kid, like, all right.
Weirdos and muscle boys.
We can't have you being muscular when you're turning into another muscular guy.
Yeah, stop working out.
At least, like, if you want to be in this fucking movie, put on some weight or something.
At least have the decency to green screen his head onto a slightly less muscular.
Onto
body.
A Shaggy. We need another Shaggy.
Then you get that Captain America thing and it just looks freakish.
I hated that.
Oh, so off-putting.
We have our number up. If you have anything to say to us about holonomic brain theory and where we think consciousness is stored in our body, feel free to call us in.
Or if you just want to talk to Weissel about the Bunzaverse.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about the topic. You can just call and talk to us.
Yeah, just call and let's talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is SNL?
All right, nobody say anything until someone calls.
Is it appropriate? Let's say you have a shirt and you like it, but is it appropriate to have a shirt that says wonderful tits on it?
On this show, yes.
Okay, I have numerous versions of that shirt. That's like from that game. And I have the same question.
I can't wear it because, like, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it was a gift, and I think it's great, but this is probably the only place where I could wear it.
All you have to say is, well, not yours.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not talking about yours.
I have one that's just a crude drawing of boobs, and it says, deal with it. And I'm like, what am I saying here? Like, what are strangers going to think about this? You know,
right? I have this item.
Am I putting some weird shit out that people are going to be weirded out by?
It's weird when you go in public and people just have things that are like, "Fuck the Cowboys," like on a shirt. Like, I mean, say what you want, but like, kids are going to read that.
I don't give a fuck about your kids, man. I will wear a shirt that says "fuck your kid."
I will fuck your kids.
I don't mind if
I will fuck your
kid. My kid reads it. It's just weird to like accept that. Like, hey, man, kid's got to learn how to fend for himself. Fuck everything. It's like you're not a part. It's like you're not a part of a society.
Of someone that has a "fuck the Cowboys" shirt. I mean, like.
Well, I'm just going off what you said, where it's just like,
damn, I hate the Cowboys.
Oh, I've never seen a "fuck the Cowboys" shirt. Is it like "fuck the Cowboys" or is it like "fuck the Cowboys"?
It's a Brokeback Mountain.
It's usually a Redskins shirt, you know, or the Commanders now. We're like rival football teams.
I see. Okay.
Fuck your team. My team's good.
But like. A pro Cowboys could also wear that shirt.
Yeah, like, please, fuck the Cowboys.
Fuck us, please, Cowboys. Not
I mean,
the.
That's that whole.
Then his shirt would say, "fuck this Cowboy."
But that's that whole song that
Save a horse?
So, yeah, that sort of like pings my prudish side, which is save a horse, ride a cowboy, right? And it's like, I guess it's a double entendre, so kids aren't necessarily going to understand it. But it's like, yeah, hey, I'm a cowboy. Please have sex with me.
That's a good shirt. I'm a cowboy. Please have sex with me.
So what are you, what is this?
Someone put up one of their shirts from, in the Discord. But
I have another one, and it's a guy, and like pee is raining down on him, and it says, this is pleasure, or it says, welcome to pleasure.
I think about that shirt a lot. I actually do. I think about that shirt a lot.
Is there a picture of a dick peeing too?
No, no. It's just yellow rain.
Okay. And a little guy going like this.
I just like incredible. The phrase, welcome to pleasure.
Welcome to pleasure. You just get that on a shirt.
So anyway, with this brain thing.
Do you guys want to see what stage of transition of consciousness you might be in?
Hell yes.
Yes.
I'm zen as fuck. I'll bet I'm on the best one.
Okay, I guess I'll just go down them. You're not reactive, which is I am the world, so my needs are met as they arise. Reactive is a baby. You're not a baby. Naive. The leader and I are one. Therefore, I am safe. Any of you guys feel any of that? Any of you?
No.
No. Okay. Then your transition dilemma was the leader and I are not one. So once you realize that, you moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Two. The egocentric. If I can be tough enough, I will never die. Do you believe in that core assumption?
Oh yeah, 100%.
That you will never die.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm you have to be tough enough.
So then you're stuck in the egocentric. Okay, conformist. The universe is fair, so I can ensure my security by being good.
No.
No, life's not fair.
No, life is not fair.
Okay, so
deal
then,
with it.
Now you're breaking off into either achievement or affiliative, which is, I can be master of my fate through my own initiative, or enough love will conquer any difficulty. Do you guys believe in either of those?
Yes, I could be, but I want to hear what the next one is, because I don't know if I'm still there.
Okay, authentic, which is a difficult consciousness to achieve. Being your authentic self. I need to be all that I can be to fulfill my purpose in life.
If you're wearing a Fuck the Cowboy shirt, I think you've got that.
You're pretty close. Yeah, if you got a Fuck the Cowboy shirt, you're pretty close.
I'm torn if we have purpose. So I what's the next one?
Well, the next one's even harder to get because people like Freud stop at the authentic. And then we get into the transcendent, which is, I seek to be one with the ground of the all being.
I mean, is it... egotistical to say that I'm that?
Transcendent?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then I guess as the universe, I am an egotistic because I do believe that I am one with the ground and the sky.
I think you're an achievement.
No, man. You don't know me.
Because egocentric would mean that you don't think you're ever going to die. Once you realize that death is inevitable, you move on to conformist.
I went way past that shit. You're thinking I'm way back there?
Yeah, you said ego. You said you're egocentric. That's all. That's number three.
No, I said, is it egocentric to say that I'm trans what?
Transcendent.
I was the egocentric guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm stuck in achievement.
I'm definitely transcendent, man. I read so much Zen.
Beyond it.
He reads
absolutely
Zen.
Absolutely beyond it.
I might be on it. What's beyond it?
Unity. I am what is.
Fuck, I might even be that.
Oh God, you are not.
You don't know. We've never talked philosophy.
We talk about it at least twice a month on this stage.
No, we talk about some weird whatever thing you guys are talking about.
Okay, you bring the topic next time.
Well, that is a very confrontational point of view, and I think you're getting that from your id.
Whatever. I think if you're feeling confronted, that's your own id.
I don't feel confronted. I am currently at peace. I don't need to bring a topic because I'm at one with everything.
I feel like it's egotistical from a human standpoint to think we have a purpose. Because then it just makes it like, well, you haven't found your purpose yet because you're not successful at something.
Who said anything about purpose? Which stage was that?
That sounds like achievement. That sounds like you're stuck in achievement too. Unless you're about love, that love will conquer anything.
I mean, I'm just asking the question. Like, I don't think that...
No, there's no purpose. Anyone who thinks there's a purpose is...
That's what I'm saying. It's weird. It's weird to think that there's a purpose. I feel like people that think there's a purpose have, like, attached themselves to what they think their life's purpose is. And it's like, I found mine. I don't know what the rest of y'all are doing.
I mean, Americans are fucked because, like, they all think their purpose, and I'm excluding them because I am at one with the universe. Americans are like, well, my purpose is to get up and go to work and pay my mortgage and have children. And those people are fucking idiots.
Hey, if you got kids, you're a fucking idiot. It's me, James Gandolfini.
No, James, if you guys pay a dollar, basically $1 a month, you can hear Wade's James Gandolfini.
My horrible James Gandolfini.
I think I figured out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Kyle Damon in the chat says Aaron's book is totally new age self help, pseudo religious BS.
Whoa, shots fired.
Shots fired.
Do you know about this, Kyle? What is happening here?
Listen,
her last name is Wade, so how bad can she be?
Dr. Jenny Wade. I don't know. I think it's compelling. I read it, and I thought it was interesting. I'll take it
well,
to heart.
The quantum brain stuff is crazy enough to where you can have 20 people all that are scientists that just are off on their own belief.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... It's all pseudoscience. It's all new agey because it's not the conformist science that...
Well, but...
It's new agey till it's not.
I don't know about pseudo... Pseudoscience would be like, oh, hey, I did this thing and I proved it, and you're just lying.
Wikipedia is saying this is all pseudoscience. Like, oh, there's no consciousness.
But it doesn't... It sounds like a theory to me. Go on, Brian.
Well, I think, like, a lot of people will say that, all right, there are people that had... Like, there's a big part of it that's saying that big parts of your brain are removed and you still regain your consciousness. But on the other end, there are a lot of people that have had minor, very, very minor brain surgeries where their personality has changed drastically.
Yeah. Do you ever wish that that was you?
Yes.
Just so that they'd make a movie about me. Even if I'm not aware of what the
movie is. No, I'm just sick of myself, man. I just want to be something else.
Well, I think your personality changes as the problem is like, I feel like I used to be a better person, but
me too.
But like, if when you change, you never want to, you always are. If you were given the choice, here's a bucket of people you can be. Yeah. You will choose the miserable version of you that you are, because to become somebody else, it's like. Frightening.
I think what it is like, as comedians, it's like if we feel like we lose that edge, we won't be funny anymore. And because that's the, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself, but maybe it applies to you. Like, if any of that changes, my entire personality is wound up in this, like, well, I need to be entertaining and funny. And I unsuccessfully, but still, it's what I'm, you know, like, if I didn't have that drive, then what would it be? What would replace that? You know, what would the aspiration be?
I feel like I attach my personality, my individual self, to everything I've experienced. So it's weird to take away your experiences. You know, that was always my issue while I was religious, going like, I don't want to fucking go to heaven. You want me to like not sin? I'm like, sin is part of my brain. So like, you want to take that away? I don't know who that is. That's a different person.
I think, like, kind of the cool thing about holonomic brain theory is that, like, if you don't believe in religion, it's almost like a cool thing to, like, I feel like as I get older, I'm going to want to trick myself into believing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's too scary to think that there's nothing.
But you have, I was thinking about this the other day because my dad is like, I feel like he's facing his mortality right now because we both got stoned together and he had all these questions about death and stuff. And I was like, oh, he's scared right now. And like, And that's why I'm like, just start thinking about it now. Just like figure it out now.
Yeah.
And then you have 40, 30 years.
You know what's funny?
Be okay with it.
You bring that up. Is that like, I feel like my anxiety life experience is I really felt like I've been really close to death a bunch of times, whether it be me waking up choking on my puke or having a panic attack.
Shitting my pants.
Like all these things. I'm like, I've died so many times that like I want to find an answer because I'm so close to death. Like I sleep a certain way
but there's
so
no
that
answer.
I won't hit moose when I'm like, if I happen to wake up choking on my puke where my arm goes down really hard. Like I hit him once on the head and I was like, oh fuck, are you okay? But
I mean, come on, I'm on record. Get him out of the bed, man.
Yeah, he does say that.
But in that realm, I like to me it's important.
But there's a comfort in knowing that there is no answer, right? So if you're not seeking the answer, then you're liberated to just be like, well, fucking A.
And to know that nobody has the answer, even if they've experienced death and come back from it.
That's just impossible for me. Like I remember like my dad passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry, shit.
Oh no, it's fine. But like he was fairly old and did pretty well, but like 6 months before he dies, like he started to become like religious. He's like, for the first time I'm finally confronting my mortality. He's like, I'm like, dude, it's like I never thought that about dying before. I'm like, dude, you are so fucking lucky. I think about it every fucking day. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're now thinking of this?
What a life.
And he had cancer for 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
What? And he's just now thinking of
yes!
it?
Yes!
I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through. Love conquers all, right?
But then he's like trying to do the buzzer beater like Christianity thing. And it's like, come on. Fuck that. Because that's kind of what my dad is doing, too. Like, he's sending me emails about Jesus and stuff. And it's like, Dad, you never went to church.
It's okay, though. It's like it's just something. When you're dying, I think you're going to be looking for truths that don't exist.
If it comforts you in some way, but I'm transcendent. I don't need that.
You've reached the top.
He is.
I don't need that, man. I'm ready
to
die.
Would a transcendent guy care, though?
He doesn't. I don't.
Oh, okay. He doesn't. Maybe that's why Wade is so transcendent, because he doesn't fucking care.
Man, I don't give a fuck. I'm like a frat boy in college.
I love
that Gandolfini.
I love the idea of you turning into a ghost to haunt us and be like, told ya. Fucking told ya.
I told ya. If I die before you and Wade, I'll definitely come back and haunt you just to piss you off. I'll definitely try to haunt Wade. I want to scare the shit
you gotta
out of
have
Wade.
A thing, though. Like, you gotta tell people what the thing is now so that, like, people are like, oh, fuck. Like, turn the cat ball over.
No, you can't tell everyone. That's the Houdini thing, right? You can only tell like one person.
That's true.
If you haunted me, I feel like it would only reaffirm all of my beliefs that there's no answer.
No, I would auto channel. I would like channel write something while you're writing. I would like take over your hand and just tell you everything that happened.
Did I just write this?
This looks like Aaron's handwriting.
I would love for you to do that.
This looks like Mickey Mouse's handwriting. It could
then
only
would,
be Aaron.
Then I would have the answer, right?
Yeah.
Then, I don't.
I would.
There
I would
one.
Make it if I died. I would make it that you become transcendent only when you're doing James Gandolfini impersonations.
Hey, we're all ZD. Carmella, we're all ZD.
Tony.
Who are all these beings traveling through our solar system?
Is that James Gandolfini?
I guess not. I guess it isn't.
He turned into like a scientist?
It sounded like Chris Elliott's Marlon Brando.
That's like a bad Marlon Brando, yeah.
Oh, that's why. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. This is from the previous show, but that's why I brought up The Offer, because the guy does such a bad Brando. And then everyone else is doing shitty accents on it, too. And it's just like, whoa, this is a cartoon. It's insane. So anyway, if you pay a dollar and you can hear
it's, that. It's weird. I mean, I don't mind doing bad accents off the cuff, but like if you're doing it in a movie, like... practice.
Well, it's a drama too, and it's just like,
hey, so I went over here,
And then the next guy's like, oh, really? Then what happened? Whoa. And it's like, this is a drama. So it's just, but it's just bonkers, insane people. You got to watch it. It's great. It's horrible.
You told me not to watch it.
It's if get stoned and watch it.
All right.
Get stoned and watch The Offer. That's my Wade tip of the
It'll
week.
It'll make you feel inspired to do voices because you could do them better.
How long is that, though?
It's a show.
I know, but like how many, like...
It's like 17 seasons.
I don't remember. I think there's like 10 episodes or something. I'm not sure.
So I know there's not much time left, but I want to bring up this idea that where some of this comes from is some of these instead of classic action potentials involving axiom and synapses, where it's like, hey, here's a signal, here's a receiver. That's where this is stored. Bzz, 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 electricity goes one way. They're suggesting that all of these connections are polarized and that each connection actually is a receiver and a sender. And so the information comes from the polarization of the electrical signal. Only saying all this to say that like when I think about these things happening in our brain, I feel like this is what the universe is made of. So when I look at like, you know, when dendrites look like
wait, do we have a call?
The cosmos.
We do have a call.
Oh, let's take the call. Sorry, Willie.
Well, I would just finish this quick thought of like the idea that the way information is stored in your brain resemble could the universe store information the same way? Is the universe storing information? Is the universe a conscious being?
It's a giant iCloud.
Yeah, I think
so. What you got, caller?
It looks like Squanch.
Yeah, I think it's Squanch. It says Skunky.
Well, that's because it's like auto translated.
No, I know. Oh, I thought you already hit.
Yeah,
talk.
I thought you were.
I didn't.
Hey, no, you're on
hello,
now. What's
hello.
Up?
Hello. Hi, guys. Hello.
Oh, God.
Hi.
So Squanchy.
What's
hi,
who could
hello,
this be?
Brian, I believe, is the guest. I missed you, Wade. I missed your laugh, mate.
I've been here the whole time.
Question.
What are you talking about?
Do you all believe, is there such thing as an original idea, or are all our ideas, like, are they all formed from someone else and then you think it, or like if you think it, someone else can also think it. Like if you ever had an idea and then all of a sudden you see a TV infomercial and then they have the idea for sales. Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I thought I created the effeminate heterosexual. There's an old SNL skit, and it's not PC anymore. It's Dana Carvey, and he's like,
hello?
Yeah?
Can you not hear us?
Oh,
we heard your question.
Oh yeah, no, my connection's connection's pretty shite.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But no, yeah. I mean, is there an original idea? I mean, you have a lot of original ideas. Do you think that you derive them from anything?
I mean, I think like the weird thing is that when you have an idea, it does seem to come from outside of you almost, like
mm-hmm.
because like if you think just completely mathematically, it never quite works out.
Yeah, it sucks. It always sucks.
Yeah, so like
there's like an inspiration that strikes from out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, and you kind of follow that versus thinking almost.
Yeah, totally.
I think that we're all interconnected beings at striving to think that we're not connected, like not to think that we're not, but like we, since we don't believe in that, we're all getting a lot of the same information.
I mean, when you watch TV nowadays, though, it feels like everything is just kind of a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah,
it doesn't. There isn't that much as much inspiration. It doesn't feel like
that's just money.
Well, it's also like holy shit, there's so much stuff. Like, how do we come up with anything new? You know. It's like hard. It's that whole South Park episode of Simpsons did it, right? Where it's just like, fuck, there's so much shit out there.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't. I personally think that as a collective experiencing all of this, like in our own individual ways, like, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I just don't know if any of you exist outside of my conscious reality. So any idea outside of my own personal conscious reality, like, is already my idea. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And my question is, is our consciousness part of the universe? Like, your individual experience is specific to you. Mm-hmm. Is that adding to the universe, or is that just lost in yourself and we're all just individual things that are just dying on our own? Or are we all building up for something?
Well, but you do think we're all a part of...
I do, but like, it doesn't mean I'm right, because I think that.
Do you think that...
I mean, I don't believe I'm right about anything.
I don't think there's a right or a wrong.
Thank you, Squanchy.
Yeah, thanks, Squanch.
Great question.
Thank you, guys. It's nice talking to you. Life's doing a little bit better. I'm gonna put my patronage in tonight for the $5 tier.
Oh, cheers, man.
Thanks, Squanchy.
Yeah, thank you, Squanch.
Love you, bye.
All right, love you.
Thanks for the call.
Squanchy's been a long time Patreon subscriber.
Awesome.
Constant caller.
Is it weird? Like, this is just like that so many consciousness and fate. Is there some sort of a connection, do you think?
100%. I think it's this is why the whole we are all one thing makes sense, because you can manifest shit if you believe in it enough, right?
Yep.
And so the only explanation for that is either we're living in a simulation or we're all connected. And they're both kind of the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think fate is what you make it.
Like, what are the odds? Like, you always hear these stories about famous people from different walks of life that know each other when they were young. Like, David Lynch knew the guy from Jay Giles' band, Peter Wolf. That was his roommate. Was like, oh.
Plugs, quick.
That's weird, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Bunzaverse. Check out Hot Cross Buns 2 on YouTube. Weissel, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Real Life Sci-Fi on Patreon, Real Life Sci-Fi on Twitch.
We're doing Whippets in the Moor.
Oh, we're going to do Whippets. Sci-fi. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life More.
More.
The candles are lit. So are we. The topics are off. So are our shirts. We're talking topless to our good friend Brian Weissel.
I'm straight up crying because, like, I didn't sleep well last night. So I'm crying because I'm so touched that I was brought on as a guest.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, and you're welcome.
Yeah, he's not crying because we tried to take his clothes off forcefully.
I was trying to do that, and I was rejected, and I'm just crying now.
Take off your shirt.
Here, put this one on.
Put it back on.
Here, have three sweaters.
So we were talking about fun brain stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
And I think, like, we were kind of getting to something. And I don't remember where we left off, but Brian, it felt like maybe you were getting to something.
At the end where I was talking about how weird it is that it seems like there's some, not specifically fate, but it seems like certain people are drawn together. Like, I was talking about how weird it is that Peter Wolf from Jay Giles Band was roommates with David Lynch. And you hear these stories over and over and over again of people that it seems like, oh, that's just coincidence. But there's so many instances of it that it feels even like the fact that all of us met at Channel 101. And there are all sorts of examples of this, of people getting together, and it feels like there's this manga that I really like, and I talk about it all the fucking time on every podcast I go on, so sorry, called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And like, there's a part
you've talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah, I have. But
still haven't seen it. I'm sorry, I want to watch it now.
Again, let me get it for you versus you finding it, because the version on Netflix is fucked up, because what they did was instead of using the proper subtitles, they used the American version where they changed the dialogue and used the subtitles for that. So you're not getting the real subtitles. Oh, it's like fucked up subtitles. Yeah. And like, they ruined very dramatic parts of the show, which fucking pisses me off. But anyways, in the show, there are characters that have these abilities, and we learn later on, like, it's weird because not that many people have them, but the characters keep encountering people that also have abilities. So the creator of the series, Hirohiko Araki, came up with this idea called gravity, where the reason why these characters are being pulled together is because the name of the ability is called stand. So the stand abilities attract other stand abilities.
It's like Highlander.
I haven't seen Highlander, but
I don't know how attracted they get, but they have like a feeling. They know when another one is around.
It's like a quickening or something.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's something to that idea.
Okay, but sorry.
Yeah, go.
Like this is just my like rational, the explanation for that is, like, you know, Adam Sandler and Judd Apatow were like roommates and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would say that it's just like, oh yeah, of course, like, the people who hang out are gonna like become successful together.
But there are like political people with that become famous with actors too. Like, it's like sometimes it's
that's true. Go on.
My, because I've thought about this a lot too, and like, I think that creativity breeds creativity. And so being around someone creative is infectious in a way that makes you hope. I mean, if you're lucky, connect to yourself in a way that you flourish too.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of like, you know, there's some people that get fecal transplants.
Get what?
Fecal transplants. So
yeah,
like,
they did that on South Park.
What?
They did that on South Park.
Oh, I haven't seen South Park. I was going to say, I haven't seen South Park in like 10 years.
They were trying to get Tom Brady's poop so that they can all be as powerful as Tom Brady.
Yes, and there's if you...
I've heard about that. But that's actually a medical thing, too, where like, if you're lacking some sort of like...
The bacteria. You take antibiotics, then you kill all of the... What is it? Probiotics in your gut.
Yeah, probiotics.
So is it maybe, do you think maybe because fecal matter is in the air no matter what? Like, if you smell somebody's fart, you're getting their fecal matter in your lungs?
Yes.
They say that if you...
Adam Sandler farted and Judd Apatow sniffed it up and became a good writer?
Yeah, I believe. Okay, yeah. I like this.
Terrible. Now he's not a good writer anymore.
He does terrible stand-up. Don't waste your time with his stand-up.
This
sucks.
This theory.
He tells stories that you don't care about.
Why is this more entertaining than the paid version?
This is the paid version.
That's why it's more entertaining.
Yeah.
Hey, that was just a snippet of what our bonus more episode is that we do every week with our guest. If you like that, that's one way you can support us. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We have different tiers. We basically record 3 episodes a week, and we all seem to think our favorite one is this more episode. So if you want more of this, go subscribe to us at Patreon over there. And thank you so much for all your support.